Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, September 11th, 2012, the 11th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on America. We will never forget. At least I certainly will not. Hope you won't either. The home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're live streaming the show on my website, buckmastershow.com, and at kvoi.com. So you can hear our programs in addition by visiting buckmastershow.com. We have the show posted there for your 24/7 listening pleasure. And then Tucson Citizen .com has the program, TucsonSentinel.com, and GVNews.com. That's the website for the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun. And we thank them now for a link to the Buckmaster Show on their website. We are live during the noon hour each weekday, noon to one. Today's show, we'll talk with Republican candidate for Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier. Then we have the latest financial news on the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Then we talk with former U.S. Army Chief of Staff John Wickham. 11 years after 9/11, the world's still a very dangerous place. General Wickham will share his insights on what we need to be doing to better protect this country against another terrorist attack. We encourage you to join in the conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, or you can submit your question using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Joining us now in studio, Mark Napier, Republican Pima County Sheriff's candidate. Mark, how are you?
Very well, Bill. Thank you for having me on the program.
This is the first time that you have been on the program since your primary election winning by nearly 30 percentage points. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. I really owe a lot of a debt of gratitude to my volunteers and the good ground game, and we went out and talked to hundreds and hundreds of people during the primary and kept our message very positive and focused, and it turned out to be a big victory for us.
Were you a little surprised? A five-person primary to win that by that large a margin is impressive.
It is impressive, and I'm very gratified because I think our ground game was very good and our messaging was very good, and I think that led to a big victory. It was a lot of hard work in getting out and talking to people, whether it was a group of five people or 100 people. We were everywhere. I think I did probably 70 public appearances in 4 months.
People know Sheriff Dupnik. He's been the chief county law enforcement officer for, 32 years now, mm-hmm. and he's been, I believe he's been in law enforcement in the community for really 50 years, so they know who Clarence Dupnik is. It's still a learning process, probably, of introducing yourself to the voters mm-hmm. and about your background.
Yes. I was a police officer for 28 years, almost three decades. Was a police officer first in the state of Iowa for 6 years. I moved to Arizona in 1987 and took a position with the Tucson Police Department. There I moved up through the ranks. I was first an officer, then a sergeant, then a lieutenant, and finally a captain. When I retired in 2008, I was the commander of the Southside Patrol Division, where I was responsible for about 100 police officers and a budget of about $15 million. Well, I was going through my career at TPD because I realized I wanted to be a senior administrator, and I realized a formal education is really important to that process. I went back to school and got my undergraduate degree in social psychology, went on and got my master's degree from Boston University in criminal justice, because at some point you're a very senior administrator of a big business, and I think formal education is important to that. Also went through the Senior Management Institute for Police and graduated from that, and I got a certificate in public policy management from the University of Arizona and graduated the public executive training program at Arizona State University. Then I went up to Glendale. I was assistant director of the Glendale Police Department for a year before I retired and took a position with the University of Arizona as associate director of parking and transportation, where I work today.
So you don't really you're going to have to give up that job if you become sheriff. I mean, you're
absolutely
putting some things on the line here.
I am. I've got a great job. I love the people I work with, and I really enjoy the university atmosphere. I like being around the students. I'm very actively involved in the university community. And I've got a low-stress job that I make a nice amount of money with, and I enjoy the people I work with. And that was a debate for me when I decided to run for sheriff, is I'm giving up some things to go back in the meat grinder of being a senior leader of a large law enforcement agency. It's not a 40-hour week job if you're doing it right. And my wife and I had to talk about that. Do you want to go back to 60-hour weeks and me being gone on nights and holidays and weekends and the pager going off all hours? And
yeah, you're pretty much on call 24/7.
It's kind of like being a doctor if you're doing the right thing. And she said, I know where your heart is, and I know what you want to do, and I support you. And we've been married 30 years almost, so she's been very, very good to me.
Mark Napier is with us. He is a Republican Pima County Sheriff's candidate. What would you change if elected? What would you change about the Sheriff's Department?
Well, I think first and foremost is I would like to see the sheriff as a visible leader in Pima County, as somebody that's really engaged with neighborhood groups, nonprofits, chambers of commerce, and that sort of thing, to be a very visible, dynamic figure in our community. I think that there's outreach that we can do to the business community where we could be part of that economic development, because public safety is an important part of economic development. And if you had an engaged sheriff that was working with chambers of commerce and other business groups, I think that's a positive impact you could make on the community. I'd like to get back into schools. I was a speaker for the county attorney's Youth, Drugs, and Alcohol Speakers Bureau. I'd like to get back into the schools because I really care about our young people and talk about the dangers of alcohol abuse, drug abuse, and the violence associated with gangs. I think that would have a powerful impact on schools to have a sheriff that's a visible leader in the community. So that's first and foremost. I think we could do a little bit better with fiscal management. I'd like to engage in more performance-based budgeting to make sure that the tax dollars sent to the Pima County Sheriff's Department are spent in the wisest manner possible. And then finally, I'd like to get back into some more modern crime control techniques. I'm kind of an academic when it comes to crime control, and I know there's some new things out there we can do that have a lot of meat on the bone. And if we keep doing the same thing and expect different results, that just doesn't work. And people get frustrated with that. Property crime in many parts of our county is too high. And I think we can do a better job of looking at root causes of crime, attacking those root causes, and then permanently solving difficult community problems. And I'd like to work on that.
You don't want to make this a personal campaign against the sheriff.
No, I do not. I want people to vote for Mark Napier. I don't want them to necessarily be voting against Clarence Stupnik. I want them to be voting for a new sheriff. I want them to be voting for a new leadership, a new vision, a new direction for our sheriff's department. I don't harbor any ill will toward Sheriff Stupnik at all.
So this is not all about dishonoring Sheriff Clarence Stupnik and his service.
No, my mother would roll over in her grave. She didn't raise me to be that way. You know, he's given 5 decades of his life to public service here in Pima County. As I've given 3 decades of my life to the same pursuit, I respect that. And I'm not going to engage in the mudslinging, and I would hope that he would extend to me that very same courtesy. Let's debate the issues. Let's get out in the public. Let's be visible to the public, and let's let them make a decision about who's best to lead the sheriff's department forward. Who's got the best vision for the future? Who's got the best ability to lead the agency from where it is to a forward position, not simply keeping it the way it is today?
Well, we hope to have you and the sheriff together here on the Buckmaster Show to talk about all of the issues. We'll be doing quite a few debates between now and Election Day, and we hope that the sheriff's race will be one of those that we can sit down for a half hour here on the program, talk about the big issues. How about morale in the department right now? I know it's hard being on the outside trying to gauge how morale is, but what's your gut feeling?
Well, and my gut feeling, especially in the corrections area, is that morale is very low. And I've talked to deputies on a personal level, and they're a little bit reluctant to come out and say things publicly because they're afraid of reprisals and so forth. But I think they're ready for new leadership. I really do. And I absolutely adore, I love being in law enforcement. I gave almost 3 decades of my life to it. I like being in the field. I like being in uniform. It certainly simplifies your wardrobe in the morning, if nothing else. You know, I got to put out a pair of socks and underwear and a t-shirt, and I know where I'm going. So I like being out in the field with the troops. I think it would do a lot for morale to see their sheriff in uniform, out in the community, down in corrections at 1 o'clock in the morning on a Friday night, seeing what they do, talking to them, getting to know them, making sure that they have the tools and the resources they need to do their job. And I think that would go a long way to improving morale.
When did you know that you wanted to go into law enforcement? Was there something, a mentor or someone that you point to in your life that that pointed you in the right direction?
No, that is an excellent question, and I don't know to this day what the answer is. When I was a little kid, if you'd have rode up to me when I was riding my bike in Iowa and when I was 5 years old and said, hey, little boy, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would say, I want to be a police officer or a school teacher. And God blessed me with allowing me to be both. I ended up, I still teach today for Boston University in their master's program. I've taught for the University of Phoenix, ITT Tech, and I love education, and I've got to pursue that while I pursued my law enforcement career. So you never know. I mean, I have an infectious enthusiasm for youth and education and law enforcement. I've been blessed to be able to do both.
But what was it that about law enforcement, even as at that young age, that kind of resonated with you?
And I know people will think, guys, he's just saying a campaign line. I like the idea of helping other people. I've dedicated my life to public service. My wife has done the same thing. She's been a nurse since 1978. I just care about doing the right thing for the community and helping the community. I see law enforcement as a very powerful tool to do good things for the community. And honestly, I don't like criminals. I don't like people who victimize other people. You know, it's disquieting to your home. I mean, people think of a burglary as an innocuous crime. It's not. It's a violation of your personal space. It makes you feel unsafe in your home. Crimes against people, violent crimes against innocent people that didn't do anything, and we're remembered about that on the commemoration of 9/11. That I detest that. There's no reason for that. And so to actively pursue criminals and try to do good for the community just felt right to me. And I can do similar things in education by touching young people or even adult learners and expanding their horizons. So I really feel good about that.
Where can folks get a hold of you?
Well, there's a multitude of ways to get a hold of me on my website. It's Mark Napier, the number 4, sheriff.org. That's Mark Napier, the number 4, sheriff.org. There's an email link. I stay up nights, and I will personally respond to every email. I promise you that. It's not a staff member. When you get an email, it's from me. It might be late at night. You might go, what's that nut doing up at this hour? But and if and
2 o'clock in the morning.
And there's also my cell phone's on there, and that's my personal cell phone. I can't always pick it up, but if you leave me a message, I will personally return your call, because I do care about the people of Pima County. This is my home. I've lived here for 25 years. I raised my family here, and my kids still live here. So we have a vested interest in the future of Pima County.
Mark Napier, thank you very much for being with us. Good luck, and we hope to see you and Sheriff Dupnik together here on the program. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you very much.
12:17 on the Buckmaster Show. Shelley Fishman with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report coming up. I thought Shell had a big smile on his face. Must mean, yeah, he does. The market must be up. Okay, that's next.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, 21 now on the Buckmaster Show, the 11-year anniversary of 9/11. Shelley Fishman joining us now, and in a few minutes we'll be talking with General Wickham about some of his thoughts about terrorism. Still 11 years later. You know, Shell, good to see you, first of all. It's one of those things we all remember exactly where we were.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, as you know, I was born and raised in New York City, so I remember every foot of those buildings going up as they were being constructed. And I had an office literally across the street from the World Trade Center for a couple of years when I was working for AT&T. It just – to watch that happen was just, you know, more than you could bear almost.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was managing a company that was in the internet space. We, you know, high propriety internet interconnectivity, and in Palo Alto, and I rushed to the facility, locked it down, made sure, because you just didn't know.
No one knew what was going on.
Right,
it was horrible. Anyway, the Fed stimulus tomorrow, that
could be
maybe. What's the speculation? There might be some stimulus.
The speculation is that they'll do something. The employee report, the employment report on Friday, was not as good as they had hoped, especially after the ADP report on Thursday. And even though the unemployment rate dropped 2 ticks to 8.1%, a lot of that is people just not looking and dropping out of the workforce. So the economy is recovering. It's recovering slowly. And Bernanke is going to be speculated to do something to either buy bonds and promote some easing, or at least give us some words that might even extend these low interest rates a little bit longer. And then on the same day, the German High Court was asked to postpone their decision. They've refused to postpone it, and we'll get a decision from the German High Court as to whether or not they view the European Central Bank's activities as being constitutional in the sense of what is constitutional in the Eurozone and European Union. So,
Waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah, the market's got that priced in. The market today has been fairly positive for most of the day. It's dropping a little bit. It's about up 60 right now. It had been about 83 for a lot of the day. The market for the year is running way ahead of my expectations. We're probably up around 9.5%.
Oh, we're pushing 10%
there. We're pushing 10% on the Dow and on the S&P 500, which, of course, is a broader indicator. Mm-hmm. It's almost 15%, Bill.
Shelley Fishman with us. This is the Tuesday Moneymaker Report on the Buckmaster Show. Shelley had a question from a caller. Didn't want to go on the air. I don't know if, Shell, if you know this or have any, want to take a guess at it, the U.S. budget, how much is designated for defense and military?
I don't.
Maybe General Wickham will know.
Yeah, probably he will know. I don't think it's as big a number as some people might suspect. The cutbacks that go into effect, well, there was about a half a trillion dollars over 10 years in cutbacks that did get passed.
There has been a lot of cutting.
And now, of course, there's this
could be more
cliff, fiscal cliff, this that would go into effect if Congress doesn't do something about it on the 31st of December. And that's another half a trillion dollars over 10 years. And we're beginning to see some maneuvering and manipulating by defense contractors. They're required under law to give layoff notices, even though they haven't been notified necessarily that any of their contracts are going to be abrogated. They are posturing a little bit, I think, just to scare some people.
Sequestration, I think.
That's what it's called. Yeah. In other words, if they don't actually have an agreement to cut $1 trillion. Or from the I think it's a trillion, it may be a little bit more than that, then a trillion gets cut automatically. Half of it is in defense spending, and the other half of it is yet to be determined across the board.
In my notes here, Shell, for General Wickham, one of the things we're going to talk about is that, and it's another $500 billion cut in defense spending over next 10 years.
Right.
That's what's coming up there.
And most economists agree that taking that much money out of the economy and at the same time, the possibility of some tax increases across the board would have a 1 to 1.25% stiltifying effect on economic growth. That could slow us down almost to stop. So, I think there'll be nothing done between now and the election.
I doubt it.
And then depending on who wins the election, there could be some lame duck session maneuvers to at least extend things until the full session in January.
Shelley, what should the investor be thinking about right now in light of this? As you say, on the Dow, we're pushing up to about 10%. But what should the investor be thinking about?
Well, I don't think that joyousness is appropriate right now. I think the economy is moving slowly. Business is doing well, but the forecasts for third and fourth quarter profits are down a little bit. I'm sticking with my 6% forecast. I think we still have some stuff ahead of us that could get in the way. I can tell you if things go well for the balance of this week, if Bernanke in fact does something that might be on the positive side a surprise, and if the European Union moves ahead with its plans, then this 13.3, 13.5 level on the Dow could stick.
How much does the market factor in this upcoming presidential election? My goodness, early voting is going to be starting here in a month or so.
Yeah. Yeah. History would tell you that there is no indication that either one party or the other's victory would have any effect on the market at all. In the last 11
presidential election cycles,
9 of those 11 have been positive for the year for the Dow. So there's no way to tell. This, however, is something different, I think, and that something different is the discussion we're having is strictly economic. It's two radically different views of where this country should be going, and I think people in my business are trying to figure it out in terms of where the market might go as a result of the election.
Yeah, because so much is about the economy. Shell, where can people get a hold of you?
795-7950 at Pyramid Federal Credit Union or on your website.
Thank you. BuckmasterShow.com. There is a link to Shelley Fishman. That's a good way for folks to learn about our show and the people supporting our program and also to get to Shelley. Shelley, have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on 1230, we'll be back.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. Investment and insurance products are not NCUA insured, not credit union guaranteed, and may lose value.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. 11 years after 9/11, the Flight 93 Memorial in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, still unfinished, but that didn't keep victims' families and others from gathering today to mark the anniversary of the terror attacks. Mitt Romney says September 11th is a time to renew the resolve of protecting Americans against evil attacks. And President Obama spent the day taking part in solemn ceremonies at the White House, Pentagon, and at Arlington National Cemetery. The Chicago Teachers Union says there's still no deal. In ongoing talks with negotiators from the Chicago Public Schools, the city's teacher strike now in its second day. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 65 points at 13,319, the NASDAQ trading 3 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has 2 locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Well, 11 years after the terrorist attacks on America, the world is still a very dangerous place. We will talk about some of those hot spots with the military and foreign affairs contributor to the Buckmaster Show, General John Wickham, who was U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987 and Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1972 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He's now retired in Oro Valley. Our monthly conversations on military and foreign affairs with General Wickham are made possible in part by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Learn more about Splendido over breakfast at the Tucson Hilton East on Thursday, September the 20th at 9:30 in the morning. RSVP and say you heard about this on the Buckmaster Show. Call 762-4090, SplendidoTucson.com. General Wickham joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. General, how are you today?
Doing fine, Bill. Thank you for the call.
Well, it's hard to believe that 11 years ago, you and I were sitting in a television station here in Tucson, and we were just amazed like everybody else about what had happened on 9/11, and we were wondering, how in the world could something like this have happened? And I think people still, to this day, are asking that question.
That's true, Bill. I just saw, and I guess the hundreds of thousands of Americans saw on the television, the program, I think done by National Geographic, reviewing the whole episode, and it was an incredible thing to watch. And a lot of heroes, people that died in the Twin Towers and also in the aircraft, and the policemen and firemen went into the buildings. It's just an incredible episode. And you're right, as you point out, we still live in a dangerous world, but I think we have to ask ourselves, are we safer now than we were 11 years ago? And I think we are.
Well, if folks want to join us, we would love to hear from the Buckmaster Show listeners answering that question. Do you feel that we are safer now? And that number is 790-2040, 790-2040. General Wickham and I talking about the 11-year anniversary of 9/11, and Al-Qaeda is still a threat. I think most people, General, agree on that, and they still are intent on striking inside America and Europe.
Well, by and large, though, Bill, Al-Qaeda is on the run, killing Osama bin Laden, the head of it, and the fracturing of their financial support. Yes, there are cells of Al-Qaeda around the world, particularly in Africa and the Middle East, but by and large, they are no longer the threat that they once were. Yes, there are people that want to do us in because we have great wealth and we have great prominence, and that's going to be a challenge for us in the future for our children and our grandchildren. All the more reason why we've got to maintain a strong military and why we've got to rebuild our economy here. But by and large, Al-Qaeda is no longer the threat that we once faced. We've rebuilt a lot of things in the United States to track through intelligence what's going on with terrorists. We've got Homeland Defense that's really beefed up. Anybody going through airports is aware of it, as I just did when I went to San Antonio. So we are safer, no doubt about it.
I think many of us, though, are very concerned, General Wickham, about what is going on in the Middle East and the situation with Iran. There has been talk, actually for months, you and I have both been following these news reports that Israel is getting very impatient, aren't they, about the nuclear program that most suspect is being developed in Iran.
They're exactly right. And you could understand, if we were Israeli citizens, you could understand why. When you've got the Iranians that say, we're going to wipe you out of the face of the earth, we don't believe in the Holocaust, some of these awful things. The Israelis have a right to feel threatened and to feel that they have to do everything possible to protect themselves. And so the Israelis may very well launch a strike to try to delay, if not stop, the Iranian effort to build a nuclear weapon, probably before the election, if they're going to do it. But I don't think they're going to do it. I think everybody in the Middle East and in the United States and in Israel in particular are faced with a couple of choices. One choice is to try to strike Iran and see what we can do to destroy their nuclear capability. The best that we can hope to do is to set it back a few years. We cannot destroy it entirely. Iran is a nation of almost 90 million people. They have oil. They have a big, big middle class. They are well educated. They are powerful as a nation. And so we're not going to be able to obliterate the threat from Iran. And were Israel or the United States to attack Iran, we would set into motion an enormous cataclysm of hatred towards the West, and particularly Israel. And it would lead to oil prices that would cause the price of gasoline to go to $10 or $15 a gallon. And it would really put us back into recession, if not depression. So I'm not sure, and if you think about it, an attack on Iran makes a lot of strategic sense. Therefore, there's more thought being given in the media, and I think by some wise heads, maybe we need to contemplate the possibility of Iran having a weapon. And is that going to be a real threat? You know, Israel has had weapons, but they've never had admitted it. They've never tested one, but we believe that they have at least 75 weapons. Are they a threat to peace? No. Are North Koreans a threat to world stability? No. Would Iran having a weapon a threat to Middle Eastern stability? It's questionable. I think anyone would hope that we never get one there. But we may have the choice between striking them and creating a cataclysm of reaction or accepting a weapon.
Well, you bring up a very interesting point, North Korea has had a weapon, the nuclear weapon, for many years, and we have dealt with them, not always in the best manner, but we've had to deal with the reality of it, haven't we?
We have, and it's created some problems. As you know, Bill, a few weeks ago, some of the Japanese political leaders have said publicly, which was a remarkable statement, that maybe we need to think about developing a nuclear deterrent ourselves. And the South Koreans could be the next nation to say, well, maybe we need to restart the program which we stopped in 1976 and 74, that period then. And so it's conceivable that there could be movement to have a proliferation of weapons in the Northeast Asia. But I don't see it. I think that we can continue to contain North Korea, even though it's a rogue nation. And that's another interesting point, Bill. If we were to strike Iran and try to blow up their facility, guess whom they would seek help with to rebuild it?
Who?
North Korea.
That's an irony, isn't it? General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the United States Army, is our monthly guest here on the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about the 9/11 anniversary, the 11 years from the anniversary of that terrible day. And we're going to be talking when we come back with General Wickham about this serious issue that is facing the Defense Department over perhaps $500 billion in defense spending cuts over the next 10 years as we continue with the Buckmaster Show. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 1248 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. I am Bill Buckmaster, and once a month we are delighted to have General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the United States Army, with us. Our conversations with General Wickham presented by SplendidoTucson.com. General Wickham, the sequestration issue is one that probably is going to be with us through the election. This is the U.S. Defense Department having to figure out what in the world is going to happen as far as defense spending cuts. What do you think?
You're exactly right, Bill. As you know, Congress some months ago established this process, sort of a curious process, sort of a sword of Damocles, if you will, that if you don't do something, it's going to fall on your head. A $500 billion cut to the Defense Department over the next 10 years, unless the Congress could figure out other ways to save money. And they couldn't. And so that sequestration is staring us in the face. That's the cliff that we're going to fall off of in January. And nothing's going to happen until after the election. Doubtful even then, because you'll have a Congress that is sort of a lame duck. And everyone in the Defense Department has said that if we have to take that kind of a cut, it's going to be a disaster. And it will be. We've already made some major cuts in the Defense Department. The Army has cut itself in strength, and so has the Marine Corps, Air Force, and the Navy. And we're cutting programs of acquisition. And it's likely to hit home here. Raytheon and other local companies could very well see a layoff of employees because of loss of programs. So it could be a substantial, foolhardy thing that the Congress has imposed and is unable, because of this dysfunctional congressional leadership arrangement, unable to fix.
Have you ever seen it so bad in all of your years following Congress? Have you ever seen this kind of maybe I shouldn't say do nothing, but this partisan effort that's going on back there?
I've never seen it as bad as it is now. I think if the founding fathers were still alive, they would roll their eyes and roll over and say, what's happened to this country that we helped create? How could you allow this to happen? It's a kind of a little bit of the same thing going on in Chicago with this strike by the teachers against and forcing the students out of classrooms. I find that very difficult to believe, how the teachers could strike and punish the students. I would think the students would come first, but I'm not in politics, so forget my comment.
The thing that is very troubling to the Veterans Affairs and all this talk about cuts are, what will this mean to our vets who are coming home from Afghanistan and from the Middle East?
Well, the cuts are going to impact the Veterans Administration. Fortunately, this administration under Obama has boosted the funding for the Veterans Administration to the highest level in its history. And the VA gets its budget 1 year in advance. No other agency does that. So that they can plan on acquisition and procurement, hiring of people. So the Obama administration has walked the talk in terms of taking care of veterans. But the sequestration problem is likely to lead to some cuts in the veterans' activity. And so, yes, the VA is going to be hurt unless Congress can figure out a way to fix this problem. And it really is unfortunate that in the political circles we've got going on now, people are pointing fingers and saying, well, it's all President Obama's fault. He could fix it. No, he can't. The sequestration was created by Congress. They have to fix it, and they are the ones who are dysfunctional.
This suicide rate continues to be a really, really troublesome issue in the military. Suicide rate continues to be the highest in our history. Why now, General Wickham, are we having such a problem?
You're right, Bill. It is the highest in our history, and the leaders in our military have sort of thrown up their hands and said, we don't know what more can be done. The web pages that the military have got all kinds of links for veterans and their families and for active duty people to go to get help. The VA has increased the number of people that are available. They've got a 24/7 hotline where people can call in and talk to counselors about problems if they've got suicide difficulties. So the difficulty, I think, in part, is caused by the frequent deployments that we need to do a better job if we're going to get into wars in the future, and I hope we don't, and I hope we get out of Afghanistan sooner than later. I think we need to, number two, we need to sensitize the chain of command all the way from the top down and the bottom up to look for signs of illness with soldiers and families and to fix it. The suicide problem exists in our society, quite aside from the military. I think we've sort of grown immune to finding and difficulty finding health problems, mental health problems. And we need to do a better job of that, sensitizing our people to try to deal with that. Look at this awful thing that took place with the shooting of Gabby Giffords and Ron Barber a couple of years ago as an illustration of how mental illness can be right in among our public, and we're not even aware of it.
You know, you mentioned Afghanistan. The situation there is getting, well, it's very troubling what's happening now as we begin our pullout. Was this to be expected?
No, you're exactly right, Bill. The killing of the NATO troops by Afghans whom they're over there to serve is really unprecedented. And now some of the argument is that, well, these are personal grudges, that I've been working with an Afghan and he doesn't like me. Maybe it's a reflection of the fact that we poisoned the well by burning Qurans and by doing terrible things to prisoners and the deceased prisoners. And that's aggravated the situation. But I think it's more a problem of the fact that the Afghan people have become, they've been struggling with this fighting for 30 years, 10 years with the Russians, now over a decade with us. So you've got to understand that war to them has really destroyed their lives. And so there is an enormous feeling of anger that exists. And some of that anger is going to manifest itself, and I've got a weapon I'm going to shoot at somebody. And if it's a NATO person there, happens to be U.S., or unfortunately, they may get hurt. So there's going to be more of this, even though we're doing everything we can to try to minimize it.
The USSR encountered similar problems during their decade-long war in Afghanistan, didn't they?
That's right. Gregory Pfeiffer wrote a wonderful book about it a few years ago called The Great Gamble. Pfeiffer went to, he's fluent in Russian, went to Moscow and spent years researching, interviewing many Russian soldiers, and wrote this remarkable book, The Great Gamble, which I read, and it's a history of the failure of the Russians in their 10-year war. And it's too bad we didn't read it closely, because there are lessons in there that we could have learned and avoided making the same mistake. The Russians went through something similar to what we're seeing now when the Afghans began killing Russians. The whole origin of the Taliban movement came about because the young students in the madrasas, the religious schools, became so angered at the Soviets and their godless behavior that they rose up against the Russians. And the word Taliban means student, and these students formed the basis for the Taliban movement, and it still exists to this day, is an anger towards the, if you will, anger towards the West and the things that they bring that are so inimical to Afghan culture.
General John Wickham, it's always a pleasure talking with you out there on the bicycle. Are you still doing 10 miles?
Yeah, I try to do it pretty much every day, as long as the good Lord lets me do it, Bill.
At 84 years young, General Wickham, and most famous resident of Splendido, Tucson, we really appreciate Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley being a sponsor of the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you, Bill. God bless.
Thanks a lot. General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show. Always a pleasure having him with us. This portion of Buckmaster is presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. So much to do over there. The monsoon rains have really greened up the Continental Divide Trail. And coming up, the 8th annual Gila River Festival. That's September the 13th through the 26th in Silver City. Lots of places to stay in Silver City: Buckhorn RV Park, Lake Roberts Motel, Little Toad Creek Inn, and the Georgetown Cabins, among other places. So there's lots to stay, places to stay. More information at southwestnewmexico.org. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show from 4 to 5. A reminder that bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We love Culligan water because it simply tastes better. Coming up tomorrow morning from 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. State Senate candidate in LD9, Tyler Mott, will be a guest, along with the Explorer News editor, Thelma Grimes. That'll do it for Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.